Well, I brought my own Kleenexes this morning. Not because I may cry, who knows? I cry a lot anyway, but I brought them because I didn't sleep last night. My allergies are just going nuts. And I kept, you know, asking God to give me sleep and somehow help me through it. He is helping me through it, but I'm telling you, when I came at 7:30 this morning, I didn't know if I was going to make it, and each step away, I didn't know that I was going to be able to sing. And actually, my nose didn't run the whole time I sang. So it's like, praise the Lord, and he takes that stuff away, at least temporarily. So if you see me, I'm not sick. I feel great. How could I not feel great after a week of camp? But I can't stop my nose from running. So the Let the River song is just flowing right through me, man. But we did have an amazing week at camp. Also, Benadryl makes your mouth already dry, so when you take Benadryl and you get up in front of people, it gets even drier. But that's good. If my mouth stops being dry, it means I'm way too confident in myself and not leaning on God enough. He knows that when I first, even when I was in high school, I didn't answer the call to ministry because I didn't know what other kind of ministries there were, because back then it was, you know, we're still driving vehicles with square wheels. And so I didn't know about youth pastors. It wasn't a thing that I grew up knowing about. And I knew I was petrified to get up in front of people and speak. And even to today, my biggest concern in prayer is that I will say good things. And I won't be trying to be too funny, because I'm not that funny. So to try to be too funny makes it even worse. And to focus on him and let him speak through me. So we had, how many here grew up in the church, per se? All right, you know, I don't know if that's half of us or whatever. Not that it matters, you're here now. But growing up in the church, you get real familiar with a lot of things. I was there literally every time the doors were open. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every day of a revival, and anything else, you know. If it was laundry day, I was probably at the church. I did Boy Scouts at the church, and so my parents were really active, and my dad was even the CE director for a period of time. And so I just grew up in the church, and consequently, I gave my life to Christ when I was 8. And I also grew up at camp, because my dad and mom asked us, but they'd already told him yes, they knew what we were going to say. And that was, who's going to ask us, do you want me to be the assistant principal at the junior high, or do you want to live at camp all summer? Now, what kid's going to go, huh, Daddy, I think you should be the assistant principal. We didn't even have to think about it. We wanted to go to camp. And we were at camp from the day after school till like the week before school started up. And it was Camp Crawford by Fredonia and Augusta, First Baptist, and Central used to send people there years ago. In fact, I would chase a rabbit here. Liz Frawley has a camp picture with us in it. Because I was there all the time, so I took a lot of pictures. But I'm with the whole crew. I don't know if I was a part of camp or if I was just there. But I got to see me with hair, and that was pretty cool. And she remembers me. I don't know what she remembers about me, but she remembers me. I didn't go that far. But because of that, I was just around new life all the time. And so when I made a decision at 8, the only thing that I have from that I know of, I remember feeling really good. I also drew a picture of Jesus, and I'm not an artist, so I have no idea. I think at the time I thought it was a Picasso, and I colored it in. It's somewhere in my house in some box, and I haven't been able to find it for a while, but it's there, and who knows, maybe one day when my kids are digging through our stuff, when I go to be with the Lord, they'll come across this picture that says, Dickie Smith, age 8, and it's got a picture of Jesus. So that much I do remember about that time in my life. And so what we're going to talk about today, because I found out midweek that we needed to preach today, and you can't put a sermon together at high school camp. So yesterday I came and we had all these people going to be baptized today, and then we have more that are going to be baptized, and I thought, well, hey, let's just talk about baptism. And so let's pray, and then I'll dive in. Lord, this morning as we talk about something very familiar to all of us, I pray, as you did in the first service, that you would just speak to hearts to help us all remember and recall, to help us want to be followers with everything we have, and to answer the call that you have on our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to think about your story. And don't think out loud, just to yourself. But maybe you were baptized at a young age. Maybe you were baptized as a baby. Maybe you're trying to decide whether or not you should be baptized, or maybe you've never considered baptism at all. And so what I hope to share with today might help. It's not everything there is to know about baptism, but it is kind of a starter to help us understand what happens and why we would want to be baptized. So the first thing is that baptism is the response to what God has done in us. That sounds really basic, and it is, but sometimes we forget that that's what it is. It's out of the fruit of our salvation that we want to be baptized. So something has already happened. God has come into our life, and now we are being baptized out of a desire to be obedient, but also it's just a response to what God has done in our life. Really, the only part we play, well, we play two parts. We mess up a lot, and then we repent when God convicts us. He pretty much does everything else. And he makes it pretty easy because the conviction, if it's coming from the Lord, it just weighs on you. And if it's not from the Lord, then it's not conviction. It's unhealthy guilt. But if it's from the Lord, there's a way to get rid of it, and there's only one way. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In Acts 2, if we think back, this happened in verse 37. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" That's in response to the day of Pentecost, the people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the disciples going out and preaching the gospel, and people were cut to the chase and wanted to know, what can we do to respond to this? So from this we know baptism is not a suggestion or just a routine that we do, but it's a response to what God has done in us. Second thing, baptism represents regeneration, the beginning of the journey we are on with Christ. So it's a starting point. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." It's not how much we know from the start, but rather the recognition that God started new life in us, and we are a new creation. I was thinking back to, and how many here have read The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis? Well, I'm going to kind of summarize, but the most powerful story in that book didn't make it to the movie. I don't know if you guys realize that or not. Part of it did, but not the best part of it. And that's what happens when people who aren't Christians or aren't really trying to make a Christian movie, they can miss the gospel. They can miss the most important part of a book. And maybe they didn't miss it. Maybe they just decided not to put it there, but it is a powerful part, and that is Eustace. He's this rotten kid, basically. He's just got a lot of crud in his life. And long story short, he finds himself away from the group. And he comes across a dragon who is dying. And then sees the cave and goes in there and sees all the dragon's treasure, realizes this is all mine now, and eventually falls asleep. And before he does, though, he puts a gold bracelet on his arm. And when he wakes up, it takes him a while to figure it out that he's the dragon now, and his leg is really hurting, or his claw, where he's got this small bracelet on this much larger hand. And so he wanders around. Finally, Aslan, he finds this pool of water that's just beautiful, and he can tell, if I could just get in this water, I'll be healed, or I'll at least soothe the pain in my arm. And before he can get in, though, Aslan shows up and says, that he has to be undressed before he can go into the water. So the dragon tries to undress himself, peels off skin, kind of like a snake skin, but it's fruitless. He can't get to the core of the problem. And so Aslan comes in and says, I'll have to undress you. You can't undress yourself. So he lays on his back, and Aslan, you know, digs in deep with his claws, and he pulls up the outer shell. And when he's left with this smooth, smaller body, he throws it into the pool. And initially it stings, but then he begins to realize he's changing back to a boy. But he's a new creation. He's a new person. And it's a good representation that what happens when we're regenerated or when we're born again is it's not us. We can, you know, I'm always trying to lose weight. If you talk to me at any given time, I'm always losing weight. And I do. I gain a couple pounds and I lose a couple pounds every day, I've noticed. I weigh myself often. But that was my one joke and just kind of went out the door. But it's like that. I believe God wants to help me lose weight. I just got to seek his help more. But as a believer or a person wanting to believe, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot take care of the crud in our life. We cannot be forgiven on our own. We have to go to God, and he does that work for us. Tim Keller said, the way to deal with guilt is to not avoid it, but to resolve it. Eustace not only realized he couldn't get his own skin off, but that only God can come and take your skin off. And to do this, you have to let him pierce deep. You must take all the guilt on yourself and stop blame shifting and take responsibility for what you've done wrong. No excuses, full in the face. So baptism is about signifying that you've been given new life. It's about an outward expression of what's gone on inside. And it's about us being, you know, one in whom Christ dwells. Now the Holy Spirit has come into our life and will work with us. So the third thing about baptism is that it's a public confession of our faith. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Mark 8 and 34 says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So baptism is a public confession of our faith. Now, I'm going to tell one story of my kids. I could do all three, but I'm just going to pick the first one, Casey, because he's kind of my animated one. And he was six and wanted to be baptized, which is pretty young. People get baptized at all ages. But so I wanted to make sure that he really understood what it meant. And he went to the pastor, or we went to the pastor, and pastor kept asking him questions. And he kept answering those questions about as good as I could, which was blowing me away because I didn't coach him. And so he was really learning from Sunday school and other places really well. And the pastor just kept going, wow, I've got adults that wouldn't explain it quite that clear. And he said, looked at me and says, I think he's ready. So when we took him up and showed him the baptismal there at the church we were at, he was just beaming. And when he got outside, he was running around. If you know Casey, he's like totally into this stuff. But with his arms in the air, you know, praising God that he's going to get baptized. He looked like Rocky. And the thing is, the first thing he said when he got outside was, I got to call Uncle Dwayne and Herman. These were guys that weren't going to church and didn't know the Lord. And I thought that was interesting. He picked a couple older guys in his life because I want them to come to my baptism and maybe they'll come to know the Lord too. And I had no doubts then, because that's a great response to what God's doing in your life. So baptism is a public confession of our faith. It also, baptism unites us with the body here at this church and the greater body of Christ around, all around the world. The body acknowledges me as a Christ follower once I am baptized and brought into the fellowship. And it's a realization that we're not alone. We have entered into a beautiful relationship with fellow believers. So God brings us together. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Ephesians 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So baptism unites us with the body of Christ. We don't want to downplay that, because we're called into community. That's how we grow. That's how we enter in together in a collective ministry. And so it's important. I always tell the students when they graduate from here, sometimes they move away, sometimes they stay here, but always be active in a church. Don't be a long ways off from here and say, well, my church is back home. Yeah, this is your home church, but you need a church where you're at. So you're in church and you get involved, because every church needs college students to help out or do whatever, to be a part of it. You want to stay in your relationship with God, and the best way to do that is connect with other people and be in community. So, number five, we are to remember our baptism. Now, this is something that maybe you've been baptized as long as I have. I'm almost 50 years since I was baptized. Then you will relate to this, but God wants us to remember our baptism. When I was baptized at 8, and then came back to the church full force in around 30 and began to be involved in things, I had to ask myself the question, should I be rebaptized? And for some people, maybe that's true. Maybe when you were baptized, you just went with a bunch of friends and it really wasn't anything special to you. But if it was something special to you, then trust in God's faithfulness. I mean, he's the one that starts new life in us, and he's already in us. You don't necessarily need to be rebaptized. I'm not saying you can't ever be rebaptized. I don't think God's going to be upset over that. But to understand it correctly, it's about him starting us on a journey. So naturally, at the age of 57, I know a few more things than I did at 8. Maybe not as many as I'd like to, but I do know a lot more. And I know more about God. I know more about what he's done in my life. But at age 8, with everything I knew, I gave my life to him. And so that was the start of my journey. So the baptism, it's not about luxury, how luxurious the ceremony is, but it is about how magnificent and awesome God is. What he's done for us and what he is and will be doing in us for the rest of our lives. As you grow, remember baptism. Remember it as a starting spot for you. Katie and Aaron went and spent, during seminary, one of the classes they had, they studied Psalms, and they went and spent, I don't know how long it was. It was a good spell in Arizona at a monastery. And the monks there, There was a lot of things they taught him. Mostly it was how to slow down, how to experience God and slow our lives down, experience Sabbath together instead of the rush. Realize that you work in order to arrive at Sabbath, where you can spend time with family and God, and that's the center of your week. And I'll confess for myself, I have to be reminded of that, because we go 90 miles an hour all the time. But these monks taught them something they thought was kind of cool, because, you know, when you come out of a Catholic church, they dip their fingers in the water and then they do the cross on their forehead. And from, I don't know if this is the way it is for every Catholic church, but for these monks, the way they explained it was when they dip their hands in the water, they're remembering their baptism. And when they cross their forehead, they're remembering their identity is in Christ, not in the other things of life. And it's just a great way to remember. Now, I'm not advocating that we all of a sudden put water at the back, but I am encouraging us to remember our baptism in a way that helps us remember our identity is in Christ. So in conclusion, Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded in you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So for those of you who have not said yes to follow Christ today, he's saying to you, hopefully, as he's talking to your heart, come follow me. And he has a call that he's putting on your life. And if that's true, then he is also encouraging you to be baptized as a response to what God has done in your life and in obedience to what Christ did as an example for us. If you have already said yes to God, have you followed Jesus and his example and been baptized? Sometimes we are quick to say you don't have to be baptized to be saved, which you won't find that in the Bible. It is true, the guy hanging on the cross couldn't be baptized, and he was saved. And there is true that sometimes you're on a deathbed with somebody and they become a Christian, and maybe not. Charlie told me a story this morning of a person who had decided to be baptized, but he died before they were able to set it up. But it is there for us to solidify and grow our relationship with God, and for us to ignore it or to somehow put it off is in essence saying to God, "I don't trust you enough to make this move." And I realize for some, water can be scary or the different things, that not knowing how it's going to be, but that's part of stepping out of the boat. And I have found that every time that I've stepped out of the boat, God has grown me in ways that I wouldn't have been able to do if I hadn't have done that. So I encourage you to really be in prayer about that. You could be my age or older. There are people older than me, believe it or not. And maybe never have, you may be in the church all the time, but you've never been baptized. Somewhere along the way, you just kept putting it off. But trust me, you're missing out on a huge blessing to the Christian walk, and that is to be baptized. Now, this last week, we had an amazing amazing time together at camp, and about three-quarters of the camp or more made some kind of decision, and we had 15 make a first-time decision, and that's pretty amazing. That's I've been thanking God all weekend for that. Maybe that's why I didn't sleep last night. But we also have 15 that answered some kind of call into ministry. Doesn't mean they're going to be a pastor necessarily. It just means they feel called to be in ministry. And roughly 60 or so that felt God had restored their relationship. Their part of the restoring is repenting, recognizing and agreeing with God on your condition. And that can happen to any one of us. We can be, a lot of the kids that marked restoration, I know walk with Jesus all the time. But when you're in a group like that and God is really moving and great things happen, he stirs your heart and he helps you see that there are areas that you still haven't given to him. And that will be the case the rest of your life. And so it was amazing to get to be a part of that. And so with me coming in today, I thought, I want to preach on baptism. We don't hear this too often, and it's so important. And I'm getting ready to take about 50 middle schoolers to Wyatt Memorial along with a whole bunch of friends. And we're going to have an amazing time. I already know it. And hopefully we'll see more baptized next week. We'll see more people step forward and choose to follow Christ, that choose to answer that call that he has on our lives. And so I invite you to pray. The high schoolers, they prayed forward on the middle schoolers for their week at camp. And I think that's a neat way to look at it. We're in this together. And many of you helped support a student, or and in many cases, those students made decisions. And so we're all in this together. And it's great to see how our family here, First Baptist, comes together. Our community needs God desperately. Amen? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm praising the Lord because I'm almost done. I actually made it through this morning, and I wasn't sure that was going to happen. But I'm praising the Lord also for Earl, because I called him and said, Earl, I'm already leading worship, and now I'm preaching, and I can't do it all. I need your help. And he was more than happy to, he's doing Kids Connect this morning. Then when he found out his daughter was one of the people being baptized, it was, I'm sure that was a thrill to get to be a part of. And so, and all the people to help put those things together back there, that's what the body of Christ is here for. There's nothing we do that's greater than seeing anybody come and respond to God. So let's pray. Lord, this morning, we are thankful and we give you praise because you continue to work in us and you continue to use us in amazing ways that we know we don't deserve to be a part of. We're thankful for that. So, Lord, this morning, as you spoke to us, and even though I haven't been full of energy, that doesn't really matter. It's what you're doing in hearts that matters. And you can speak through any one of us to bring your word. So I pray this morning that that has been the case, and that you've helped each one of us see what you want to do in our lives and what we're holding back on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.